Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
The Market Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. Hello and welcome to the Market Musings podcast, where our guest today is from Greatland Gold. He's the CEO of Greatland Gold, Sean Day. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the Market Musings podcast. It's great to have you on. Are you doing okay today?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Mark and Ken, thanks very much for having me on the program.
Yes, it's very good to be talking to you, Sean. It's the first time we've spoken to anyone from Greatland Gold, actually, and as most retail investors know, it's one of the biggest success stories of AIM, and so it's really nice to be able to talk to someone from Greatland Gold and you as well as the sort of fairly newly appointed CEO. So thank you very much for coming on. And Kenny, are you doing okay as well?
Yep, great to have you on, Sean. I'm just trying to get my head back into space. I've been on holiday for a week, so it's late. You come back and straight into a podcast, but it's good. And I must admit, in Scotland, it feels like Australian weather at the moment. We've been having temperatures in the sort of mid to late 20s, which is very unusual for Scotland. I don't know what it's like in Holland, Mark.
Oh, it's grey and drizzly and thunderstormy, I'm afraid, in the Netherlands right now. So, you're beating me today on the weather front.
All right. And is it Perth you're calling from, Sean?
Yeah, it's Perth, Western Australia, and we have a stormy, grey, rainy day here as well. So we've okay. Got that Scottish weather for you.
Good. It's bizarre. We've had 2 weeks of non-stop sunshine, which is just unheard of. But anyway, listen, we'll take it while it lasts. And how's Australia coping with this sort of latest round of sort of COVID lockdown, Sean? It seems to be quite a lot in the news at the moment.
Yeah, look, Australia, is a little bit of a tale of two cities. Sydney has a little bit of COVID in it right now, so they are grappling through a lockdown. But Perth, I think, or Western Australia, we've had maybe a dozen cases in the last 18 months in the community. So we don't have any lockdown at all presently. We do have restrictions on travel overseas and within Australia. But fundamentally, our COVID experience here has been vastly different to most of the rest of the world. And what's been great with us, of course, is with our kind of key assets here in Western Australia, it's allowed us pretty much unfettered access to those assets right through this COVID period. So, yeah, our experience is, we've been very fortunate with the COVID experience we've had.
Good. Yeah, so business is normal then for Greatland Gold almost then?
Yeah, very much so.
Good. All right. Yeah, so on this podcast, Sean, what we like to do is we believe that, people make businesses. Yeah, you can have the best assets in the world or the best projects in the world, but if you don't have the right people to manage these assets or projects, then it just won't work. So what we like to do is find out a lot about the director or the CEO. So really what we're looking for is a sort of potted history of Sean Day. And the floor is really yours to go back as long as you want. Where you were born, what it was like growing up, your early education, did you go to university? And then we can move on to your career. So really, it's up to you where you want to start, how much detail you want to get into.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ken. We'll try to skip through the early years reasonably quickly. It was a very pleasant but normal childhood. Spent a little bit of time growing up in the States, in Oregon, where my dad did some studies at OU, but mainly here in Perth, Western Australia, where I did my schooling and went to the University of Western Australia. And then from that, went into consulting and banking firms. So started off at the big international consultancy firm, KPMG, which was brilliant. And then that springboarded across into a number of investment banks, including some Australian investment banks, and one of them in joint venture with the big Canadian Royal Bank of Canada. So, that's really given my platform in terms of financial discipline, investment decision, but also very much kind of management of businesses and people.
All right, okay. And so you started off in banking, and I see for your bio, you kind of made a jump, it's like early 2000s into sort of telecom space as well.
Yeah, look, that was interesting. I never really resigned from corporate finance. I had a client where I knew the chairman, and they needed a CFO at somewhat short notice. So I actually went there on secondment to Amcom, which owned the fiber optic cables across Western Australia, South Australia, and into the Northern Territory. And so that kind of gave me my first role inside a corporate or a business that wasn't a bank or a consulting firm. And that was a really interesting business, kind of being effectively a utility. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I think I enjoyed, although I liked the diversity you get in consulting and banking roles where you're working with lots of different businesses. But I think what I most enjoyed about that time at Amcom was actually just having, literally being with one business right through the cycle, both growing it, delivering it, building the team and people. And really from that point on, I decided that I actually wanted my career to be in corporate and actually taking businesses through to maturity, which has really been the platform that I've taken into corporate life henceforth. Yeah, it was listed on the ASX during my time there, and it made sense to me eventually. It was a quality business, and it was going to be bought into one of the even bigger telecoms.
Yeah, and your role there was chief financial officer. Is that correct?
Correct. So I came straight out of kind of consulting into that CFO role, and my focus was probably more around the business development, the funding, the banking aspects of that business, but also kind of building up the financial modelling and those aspects of actually creating the business plan to support the growth of that business.
Yep. And obviously you've taken these or you took those skill sets, and your next role was Straits Resources Limited.
Yeah, look, I think this was in the early 2000s, and like anyone who'd been in banking in Australia and particularly in Western Australia, resources and particularly mining companies was a huge part of that experience. And if we go back to that early 2000s, we'd kind of started the mining boom, which kind of went through to about 2010. So that was certainly an area that I was kind of attracted to being part of. I had a really good network in resources of people I'd worked for in the past. And that Straits Resources team were incredibly well respected. That company kind of went on a journey from, I think when I joined, something like about $2.65 a share up to about $8.65 a share, and we're incredibly successful at buying assets, running them efficiently, and developing new assets. And it was a brilliant team to be part of. It enjoyed it thoroughly, and that kind of joined the mining boom by moving across the Straits, which was very much a market darling during that time, and a hugely respected team.
Yeah, quite an interesting asset base as well. Obviously, there was a couple of copper projects in there. There was gold, and there was coal in the mix as well. So it was quite a diversified portfolio.
Look, it was a beautifully diverse portfolio. We had copper, gold, thermal coal, and also some specialty metals, tungsten, antimony, together with trading operations up in Europe, in London and Germany. So it was this, wonderfully diversified company. And I think that diversification did incredibly well, because I think when I joined, we all probably thought in the forecast that the copper business, looked really good. But as it happens, thermal coal went from about $35 per annum Newcastle average to $122 average over the space of about 3 or 4 years. So that coal business became immensely strong. We were able to grow it rapidly with the quality of team we had through that cycle. So having that diversification in the portfolio, I think, is always such a good thing. And we'll stick on Straits for now, but that's one of the attractions of Havieron within the Greatland portfolio is we have the copper and gold, and that's a lovely diversification of revenue streams. But certainly at Straits, we saw the power of that diversification.
Okay. And what was the mining sector like? Because you talked about sort of the boom. Was there a boom going on during those years?
Yeah, look, that was kind of the original kind of China development theme back in that early 2000s, where particularly iron ore and coal, those bulk commodities had a really big run up from what had been, a history of 40 or 50 years of relatively stable prices, with the Japanese benchmarking kind of annual price negotiations for iron ore, for instance, which kept very, flat kind of prices or very stable pricing, to the Chinese coming in and introducing the spot market and the quarterly pricing, and really changing the dynamics of those sectors, much to Australia's benefit and to the benefit of miners. So you saw that huge transformation in the bulks, both in iron ore and coal. So that was certainly a huge time in the West Australian economy, but in the mining sector more generally.
Mm. And that was your first role in a mining company then as well?
Yeah, it was, well, as I said, look, I'd worked with so many mining companies, including Straits, kind of giving them some advice at looking at acquisitions beforehand. I had a big network and had done a lot of work in resources. But that was the first time of actually, I guess, having the boots under the desk of working in a miner. And again, the great attraction for me of working at a miner as opposed to being a consultant is owning your outcomes. It's not just coming in and saying, hey, that should look good, now all the best, but actually being in there to deliver the projects, to build the profitability, the slow grind of improvements, creating a team to take it to the next level. I think in the introduction, Mark, you talked about the impact of people, and that's absolutely true in mining. The aspect that actually takes unlocks the value in an asset is actually the people. The difference between a really great performing asset and an okay performing asset is the people. And you know, that for me has been the great thing about my journey through resources, has been the caliber of the teams I've had an opportunity to work with.
And what was it like then? I guess you enjoyed working in it, as you say, boots under the desk as a mining company, because you've come from that corporate investment banking or telecoms, completely different. You're not a geologist, so I guess rocks don't excite you as they do a geologist who then might move into a management or executive role at a company. But did you enjoy it then? Did you enjoy working for a mining company? How did it make you feel?
Yeah, no, I've got the geology bug. I know okay. enough to be... I know enough to be dangerous around the geologist. So, yeah, look, I think it does get into your blood a little bit when what it's been, 15 plus years for me being in mining companies. So, yeah, I like to think I have a very robust understanding. And for me, it's not just the geology. My career has been spent in operating mines. So, yes, the geology is an incredibly important building block of any mine, but it's actually also the mining operations themselves, right through the cycle from geology, mine planning, execution, sales at the mine gate, through to the corporate presentation of that. But that, I've been very lucky in my career that I've worked for these multi-billion, multi-asset businesses, which have, where you get to see the whole cycle of mining.
So it's fair to say, Sean, that you sort of spent 10 years with that team that you first, started at Straits Resources, and then you've taken a change and you joined Northern Star Resources, which is a company that quite a lot of people have heard of. It's one of the biggest gold producers in Australia.
Well, maybe the segue from Straits. So when Straits did the demerger and listed its thermal coal assets on the Singapore Stock Exchange, like any good mining executive, I followed the cash flow, and those assets were performing extremely well. So we ended up IPOing those assets on Singapore for about 400 million Aussie or Singapore dollars at the time, which was about parity. And then we eventually sold those assets to PTT Group, which is one of Thailand's, it's Thailand's largest company and energy company, for around US 2 billion. So we had on top of dividends, we delivered something around a 7x multiple of invested capital on Sukari. So that was a hugely rewarding journey there in terms of keeping a team together right through the cycle and ultimately divesting those assets, creating value for shareholders. And then so that the takeover, I think, was launched just before Christmas 2012. It was completed in calendar 2013. For a confluence of reasons, I was head of integration and stayed on for probably another year through that process of integrating Sukari into the PTT group. But at some point they were happy to release me, which is ultimately what I wanted to do. And I returned. I returned to Perth, because I should say I was effectively based up in Singapore for a lot of that time, although we still had technical teams here in Australia, so I used to jump between the two. But I was pleased to get back home to Perth, where my wife and family, we're really based together. So, that was great to get home full time again. And Northern Star, which again, I've been incredibly lucky in my career to be associated with so many great success stories, and Northern Star, certainly is one of them. So I moved back to Perth in 2014 and joined Northern Star that year. You know, as really the company built up a lot, did a couple of transactions and went from its launch asset of Paulsens to owning the Kanana Bell mine and also Jundee, and really starting to differentiate itself within the Australian gold market as, you know, as this up-and-coming gold miner.
And what was it like then at Northern Star? You've got those big, a lot of big projects there, haven't you? Like the Pogo mine stands out to me as one of the companies we speak to. Richard Conroy, I think, was involved with the Pogo mine in Alaska. So what sort of projects were you involved with at your time at Northern Star?
So look, much like Straits, where we talked about its diversity, you know, Northern Star had a different type of diversity, which was it was all gold, but it did have diversity in the portfolio of you know, expanding out to five or six assets of eventually. As I mentioned, we had the launch asset Paulsens, we had in Kalgoorlie, Kanana Bell and East Kundana, added to that Jundee. And then more, you know, several years later, we added Pogo Mine, which is Alaska, USA. So that kind of was the first offshore asset for Northern Star. But again, a hugely successful series of acquisitions and acquisitions based on financial discipline of really trying to understand our competitive advantages, but also being very disciplined in how we transacted, how much we paid for assets, how we funded them. And we took that business, well, during my tenure, from around $700 million to about $10 billion or $9 billion during my time there. So, again, you know, this, you know, 12-plus multiple of invested capital was delivered for shareholders. And I think it's fair to say Northern Star is still seen as one of the great success stories of mining on the ASX.
Yeah, and at what stage did you join Northern Star in its sort of inception? Was it were you not there from day one, but were you there fairly early at the start? Is that right?
Yeah, look, really, Northern Star had a long history. Bill Beament did a great job really taking that from, you know, grassroots explorer and originally acquiring Paulsens, which was the only mine there for a long time. When I joined in 2014, it was really the start of that transformation from explorer and then single mine producer to a multi-mine platform. And again, that's, you know, that multi-mine platform, maturing businesses, bringing in systems, bringing in financial disciplines, reporting information, and really, you know, giving the teams the information they need to successfully manage assets and optimize them, I think has been very much part of my journey, and then being part of the business development team to deliver growth. But as I said, you know, by no means was the success of Northern Star down to any one individual, like Bill Beament as the head, you know, deserves the lion's share of the credit. But it was a tremendous team there, and you know, very proud to be part of that and still keep in contact with a number of the Northern Star team to this day.
And you say that you were involved with the company from what, $700 million to what, $10 billion, was it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So, yeah, a really exciting journey.
Yeah, very exciting journey. And I just checked out Greatland Gold's market cap. So that's currently about £700 million. So I'm going to ask you the question, is that your plan to repeat it in Greatland Gold?
Well, it's a great question, Mark. So look, we'd love to replicate that journey. And you know, I like to think our launch asset in Havieron is even better than Paulsens. You know, Paulsens, I think, delivered, you know, 7 years mine life for Northern Star. You know, let's not kind of front run the studies that are currently going on and this massive expanse of drilling that's going on at Havieron. But you know, we already have 4.2 million ounces. I think, you know, around 700,000 ounces was mined at Paulsens during the Northern Star tenure. So this is a better platform. Now, you know, the success of Northern Star was multifactorial, and there's a lot to achieve to try to replicate that success. But we certainly have all the ingredients available to us to, you know, to try to achieve something similar.
Okay, okay. Well, before we go into Greatland Gold, what was the journey like from Northern Star that led to you taking the CEO role at Greatland?
Look, I think with Northern Star, look, I had a magic run there, but you know, for me, again, I was in that, you know, that chief financial officer role. Now, admittedly, you know, with my background, it was very much involved in the business side of it, in terms of both the growth, but also the operations themselves, and that's probably what I love the most: getting to site, being part of those teams, and part of the, you know, that executive team that tries to build value and, you know, and build the business. But for me, perhaps taking on that CEO role was the logical next step in my career and the itch I was keen to scratch. You know, the platform I've already talked about here at Greatland, you know, the Gervais, did a remarkable job at developing, you know, well, leading the team that discovered Havieron. Callum Baxter, our technical officer, a geologist, together with the depth of the exploration team here is fantastic. But then leveraging that and creating this Greatland platform, it's a hugely attractive vehicle to come and join.
And you've mentioned it a few times. It's the people in the business. So I mean, is the plan to grow the Greatland team? Then I know you've got some good people there, but is the plan to increase on that?
Yeah, very much so. So you know, we've already made a number of appointments since I've joined. You know, my first appointment was a health, safety, and environmental manager, and that's about really maturing the business. You know, those things are just so integral to being a successful company, you know, particularly in mining in Australia. So I think, you know, creating that platform, you know, is tremendously important. We're also going on a journey from explorer. Now, I think I've mentioned already, I've inherited this, you know, really fantastic exploration team that have this competitive advantage, particularly at identifying big projects undercover using modern exploration techniques. But we are transitioning from being an explorer to also being a manager of assets, particularly Havieron. So we are in the process of recruiting a mining engineer. So yeah, we'll look at making some additions to our board again to improve that capital and that aspect of our business. So yeah, we don't really need to, given we've got the joint venture with Newcrest, we don't need to add a cast of thousands. But what we do need to do is put in place a team that can understand, scrutinise Havieron and contribute to it. And I think not just with exploration, but also with mining, also with processing, also with the sales and marketing of the product, both the gold and the copper con, and then putting together the, you know, Chris Toon, the chief financial officer, who I actually used to work with once upon a time before at Sakari. He was part of that team, which was great. So he's very much a known quantity to me, a very high quality individual, had a very successful career. We just recruited him out of Sandfire, the Australian copper gold company. So look, it's a matter of putting in place a team that can lead that growth, the transition and the journey from explorer to miner, but also give us a platform where we can leverage that for more growth into the future whilst continuing to focus on our exploration success.
Interesting. So, I mean, I've been sort of sitting listening for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes, Sean, and one thing is clear to me that, you know, your key skill sets, if you want to call it that, is building teams, managing assets, and probably most importantly to Greatland holders is managing and operating mines, which is obviously the next stage of having on. But you're not a one-trick pony, obviously, with Greatland. I mean, there's quite a diversified portfolio, and obviously the attractive thing is gold is copper, but it's a jurisdiction as well. I mean, obviously Australia is just a fantastic place to be a miner. You've got the infrastructure, you've got the people, you've got the technology, you know, you've got the right attitude to get the gold and the copper out of the ground. So I wonder if you can, obviously we can talk about Havieron first of all, but we've got time probably just to skip over the other projects within the portfolio as well, because quite a few of them are potentially company makers in their own right.
Look, you're right. We're really excited about the exploration platform that we have. The two elements I'm really worth focusing on is the ongoing opportunity in the Paterson. This is absolutely elephant country. You've had Telfer there, which has probably been a top five Australian gold mine for the last 35 years. The Havieron discovery, of course, which, you know, we think has the potential to be again one of, you know, a really big Australian gold mine. And then up to the north of the Paterson, you've recently had the Rio Tinto discovery, Winnow. So this is, you know, as I said, it's elephant country. It's undercover. And cover is your friend. You know, these are not manifestations at surface, which of course in Australia over the last 100 years would very likely have been discovered already. Because these are undercover, you know, the modern exploration techniques gives you such a better platform to, I guess, peer through those overlying Permian layers or sediments and see what's underneath. And that's what's exciting for us, is that effectively these areas, because they're undercover, are underexplored. So that gives us the opportunity to find these kind of Havieron scale assets. And you know, within this area, we really hope to be able to find another Havieron, but even another half Havieron, a quarter Havieron would be, you know, a tremendous discovery, which would unlock a lot of value for shareholders. You know, kind of on the same ilk, we have Ernst Giles, which is to the east of Kalgoorlie being, you know, certainly the most famous, you know, gold mining town in Australia. You know, that's been, you know, one of the world's great gold deposits, and a lot of Australian gold is found in these Archean greenstone belts. So we have an Archean greenstone belt to the east of Kalgoorlie at Ernst Giles. Again, largely underexplored. No one's really punched through those surface layers into the underlying, bedrock. And that gives us, you know, an amazing opportunity within the portfolio. To have that sitting in our portfolio is tremendous. So look, we continue to think of ourselves as disciplined managers of our portfolio. We'll continue to look to add to that portfolio with other assets that we think can create value that kind of sits along and is meaningful to a company that already owns a Havieron. But similarly, our assets have to compete for exploration dollars internally and between themselves. So we're also, you know, potentially part of upgrading the portfolio is looking at, in a very disciplined way, with our existing assets as to whether they have the potential size and scale to contribute meaningfully to Greatland. So when we think about some of those Tasmanian assets, for instance, we wonder whether Warrantina and Firetown, maybe we are best allowing a junior miner to come in and explore that with us. We actually like the geology there. We think there is a reasonable opportunity for discovery, but perhaps not a discovery that sits along with the scale of a Havieron. Whilst one of the things I really like about certainly the West Australian tenement licenses we have is they do have the potential to be these large scale discoveries. So that's something that when we think about ourselves as owner of an exploration portfolio, is trying to upscale our exposure to higher and higher quality assets, but also these assets or tenements that can yield Havron type scale discoveries.
Yeah, is it fair to say then that although Havron is the obviously the flagship project, the smaller satellite projects could be just as important?
Well, correct. I think, you know, the story of Greatland and really even Northern Star, you know, the discovery of ounces through the drill bit was a huge driver of extending mine life, creating value for shareholders. But certainly, you know, Greatland is kind of a microcosm of, you know, the value that can be added through the drill bit, through discoveries, is tremendous. I don't think there's any better way to add value. So I think what shareholders should have some confidence in is that, you know, our plans is that Greatland is going to be doing more exploration, you know, over the next 12 months than it ever has in the past. We're actually expanding our exploration. So we're doing so whilst creating a team that can focus on Havron. But in addition, we have this fantastic exploration team. You know, I want to back them. I want to give them the opportunity to go exploring. And if we can tag something, you know, whether it's in the Paterson or one of our other projects, it, you know, the value creation there is potentially, it's potentially unlimited, I guess. So, you know, it's something we definitely want to continue to invest time, energy and effort to unlock.
Okay, good. And I have a sort of a question for you. Just taking into consideration your previous background and experience in producing assets, how are you going to apply, do you think, your past experience and knowledge to Greatland Gold now?
Look, I think it's a combination of influences, but I think, look, the defining part of my career in mining has been really taking companies from and growing them and growing them from a market cap and share price perspective, growing them in terms of the people infrastructure and investing in the team, which I enjoy doing, but also, you know, as part of the developing the capabilities, the systems, the controls, the organizational capability inside a business. I think all of those things need to work in harmony to actually create a really successful company. So you've got to invest in all of them. And of course, I like to think that I bring a very disciplined overview to the business, both in terms of understanding, you know, our own mining assets, but also the potential to augment that with other opportunities in the market to grow our portfolio.
It's certainly very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing you know, what develops over the next 6 to 12 months. And obviously, the drill bit's constantly turning as well. I mean, I think these guys, I think I read a stat somewhere, it's like 160,000 meters already drilled at Havieron. And I think it's another 60,000 to go in this particular program.
Look, the speed of investment at Havron, you know, is absolutely brilliant. Look, one of, you know, I can't speak highly enough about our joint venture partner, Newcrest, you know, tier one partner. And perhaps that speaks to the quality of Havron that it attracts a partner like a Newcrest, Australia's largest gold miner. You know, we like to think this is a world-class asset, but also it's being developed in a world-class way. And the speed with which we're doing that in partnership with Newcrest is fantastic. You know, we have 8 drill rigs out there as we speak, punching into this thing. We're just constantly building our understanding of that ore body. And in parallel with that, we're already declining down, which effectively gives us a platform to access the mine body for, or the ore body for exploration, but also eventually for mining as well. So, yeah, it is a pretty exciting journey. And as I said, the foundation asset for Greatland is of tremendous quality.
Mm-hmm. So 8 drill rigs, yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot of activity there, and you've got the decline going already. So yeah, it's well on the way, as you say. You can use it for exploration and for the early stage of actually extracting the gold then. So yeah, very advanced. And I guess as well, with the fact that you've got the partner there, Newcrest, does that mean that you can then, or Greatland Gold can then dedicate more time and resources to the other projects in the portfolio as well?
Yeah, exactly right. It's a good comment, Mark, or good observation. So one of the things that is so unique about Havieron and indeed the Greatland Gold proposition is that the development of Havieron is effectively a brownfields development for Newcrest. They've already operated in the Paterson for some 35 years. They literally have kind of over 1,000 people at their Telfer site, which is nearby, and we're leveraging that infrastructure to develop Havieron. So what did that do? Like, look, we want to be laser focused on Havieron. We want to be a good owner. We want to be a good joint venture partner. And we want to make sure it's developed in a way that optimizes value for Greatland shareholders and stakeholders. Having said that, because we have this tier one partner, because we have the benefit, we're leveraging, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We've got 35 years of operational experience in the Paterson that we're building on. It does give us that flexibility to also continue to focus on the rest of our portfolio, to look for opportunities to expand, to look at opportunities to invest and continue to pursue development in our portfolio of assets. So yeah, it's brilliant to both have this very observable process and very observable progress with the development of Havieron, but also to keep this really big option value that we get from continuing and indeed increasing the rate of spend on exploration.
So there is a lot going on. What can you give us an idea of a bit of the roadmap and perhaps some of the key, there's probably so much going on, I can't ask you to a roadmap on everything, but what are perhaps the key milestones, let's say, that you're looking forward to across the company's portfolio?
Oh, look, there's a lot of catalysts coming up. We've got the pre-feasibility study on Havieron in the second half of the year. Late in the year, very early December, we'll update the JORC resource on Havieron. That's going to reflect another 12 months of drilling.
Okay.
All those kind of meters you referred to earlier. So that's going to be, very significant. Come calendar 22, we finalise the definitive feasibility study. I'd like to think inside of 3 years, so kind of by 2023, we're potentially extracting ore and mining the project. So, and then there's the optimization, because even when these studies are finished, there's still going to be a massive drilling campaign going on in parallel, just to understand the magnitude of Havieron. It's a lovely ore body. So you do have, a very rich, series of milestones or catalysts over the next kind of 6-12 months, and really for the next kind of 24 months as we take Havieron through the gears. And augmenting that is continued exploration opportunity in the rest of the portfolio. So, we're going to be busy there. We're going to be more busy there, and we like to think we've got some brilliant targets in the portfolio, which obviously give us an opportunity to be successful. So that's it's a nice place to be, to have this great launch asset plus a portfolio that we really like, And then given our market cap, it also has, we have the financial capacity to selectively add exploration ground or projects that we think are upgrade our portfolio. So it's a nice benchmark. And I think, you know, as I said, we've got a team in place that can really optimize the value we get from these projects.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a good note to finish on. You summed everything up very nicely there, giving us and investors some key things to look out for. Sounds like you really are going for gold, if I could say that.
we do have one of the exploration chaps, one of the geologists here. He has his daughter at the Olympics. She's through to a couple of finals in the rowing. So
nice.
I am kind of, well, obviously rooting for her to get a gold medal for the family and for the country. But it does lend itself to some good messages if they do get gold.
Indeed. Oh, that's nice. It's a nice story. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Sean. And Kenny, unless you've got any final thoughts or comments to put in or ask Sean. Have you?
Oh, I think that's about 40-45 minutes been talking. Yeah, it's something we could probably follow up on as well, Sean. I mean, there's so much to talk about in the Greatland portfolio. I mean, we could have probably talked for another hour quite easily. But thanks very much for your time, as always.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Sean. Yeah, for your time. And it'll be good to catch up again in a few months' time as the, you know, you've moved further down that roadmap.
Hey, look, Mark and Ken, I really enjoyed the discussion and the format. So hopefully that was some interesting insights in there. But thank you very much for your time. It's good fun.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Great, thanks.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.
Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.